This is a recording of the Robert Greenstein Conference with the Center on Budget and Policy on June 27th, 2013 at 10 a.m. Central Time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience in holding. We now have your speaker in conference. Please be aware, each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for your questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you'd like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Robert Greenstein.
Hi, Ashley. This is Michelle Bazzi, Vice President of Communications over here at the Center. Thanks for joining us today. The presentation portion of the call will last for about 15 minutes. Then we'll open up the call for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1, and you may do so even during the presentation, so you can enter into the question queue. Bob?
Thanks, Michelle. Good morning, everyone. As you know, we have released this morning the Center's new long-term budget projections through 2040. They're based on the latest CBO and Social Security and Medicare actuaries' estimates, and they're prepared here by a stellar team that includes Paul Vandewater, former Assistant Director of the Congressional Budget Office, now a senior fellow here, whom you'll hear from in a few minutes, Richard Kogan, former senior OMB and House Budget Committee official, Joel Friedman, former senior House and Senate Budget Committee official, and Kathy Ruffing, who spent 25 years at the Congressional Budget Office. Paul's going to go through the findings and the methodology. Let me first hit some high points and make a few observations. On the one hand, what we find is marked improvement since previous projections, including our own previous projections in the long-term fiscal outlook. But on the other hand, the long-term outlook, while substantially improved, remains challenging and will still require difficult policy choices. I'll focus, as our analysis does, on really the key measure, the ratio of debt to gross domestic product. Analysts regard the debt-to-GDP ratio as fundamental. A continually rising debt-to-GDP ratio means the debt is continually growing faster than the economy, and that eventually poses various problems for the U.S. economy. The debt-to-GDP ratio was 73% of GDP at the end of 2012. We project that it will rise to 78% in 2023 and to 99% in 2040. A 99% debt ratio is a significant concern. But we no longer project the debt to grow at an explosive rate, as most previous estimates, including ours, indicate. Since we last issued our previous long-term projections in early 2010, the projected debt-to-GDP ratio in 2040 has shrunk by half, from 218% of GDP to 99%. The long-term realistic baseline of the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget is similar. They show a projected debt-to-GDP ratio of 108% in 2040, and CRFB issued that projection before the most recent Medicare and Social Security Trustees report issued a few years ago, which slightly improved the outlook. Now, I should note the three major immediate policy uncertainties affect the fiscal outlook and our projections. One, whether sequestration will remain in effect after 2013, and if not, whether policymakers will replace it with measures that yield equivalent savings. Two, whether policymakers continue to block scheduled deep cuts in Medicare physician payments, and if so, whether they offset those costs. And three, whether policymakers extend a group of largely corporate tax expenditure known as the tax extenders that are scheduled to expire every year or two, and if they extend them, whether they offset those costs. I want to be clear that ours is a conservative projection of the long-term fiscal challenge. We have been conservative on all three of these immediate budgetary uncertainties. In our projections, we have assumed that policymakers will cancel sequestration and the scheduled Medicare physician cuts and extend the expiring tax provisions, all without offsetting the costs. Had we made different assumptions on those policy issues, our projected debt-to-GDP ratio in 2040 would be somewhat lower than 99%. Finally, a few observations on the implications of these projections. As I noted, policymakers still face difficult choices to put the budget on a more sustainable path for the long term. We've long maintained that stabilizing the debt ratio over the coming decade, with deficit reduction measures phased in after the economy's recovered more fully, is a minimum appropriate budget course. Projected debt-to-GDP ratios ought to be reduced through carefully designed policies that strengthen rather than weaken the still-too-slow economic recovery and job creation in the near term, while putting in place fair and balanced deficit reduction that grows over time. In our view, some short-term job creation ought to be part of the mix. Now, I note that simply the step of replacing sequestration with a more sensible set of saving measures that end the immediate austerity which sequestration is imposing and replace it with larger savings later in the decade, while certainly not all that we need to do for the long term, that step could both benefit the economy in the short term and produce somewhat lower debt ratios in the long term because it would entail more deficit reduction in the latter years of the decade and lower deficits in those years than would occur under simply leaving sequestration in place. Based on CBO's February 2013 projections, we previously estimated that $1.5 trillion in additional deficit reduction would stabilize the debt at 73% of GDP over the coming decade. Because CBO's May projections are more favorable, the deficit reduction required to stabilize the debt now will be somewhat less. We'll examine that in a future paper in the next week or two, and we'll also look at how much is required to pursue various other paths, including paths that put the debt ratio on a downward path later in the decade, and paths that include some immediate job creation given the high rate of unemployment in the economy. Of course, even if the President and Congress agreed on enough deficit reduction to stabilize the debt over the coming decade, the debt ratio would still likely rise somewhat for a number of years after 2023. Stabilizing the debt ratio over the coming decade is not sufficient to solve our long-term problems, but it would give policymakers time to identify by later in the decade further steps, especially in the healthcare area, to keep the debt ratio from rising again in future decades and to make more progress on these long-term deficit challenges. Having said that, going further and enacting more significant deficit reduction now that puts the debt ratio on a modest downward path in the latter part of this decade after the economy is recovered would bring additional advantages if policymakers can achieve it without slowing the recovery, shortchanging important investments in the future, increasing poverty and inequality, or sacrificing healthcare quality. Sadly, all of this seems a tall order in the current political environment. Let me turn now to Paul Vandewater.
Thanks, Bob. Bob has summarized our findings about the long-term budget outlook. Now I'll fill in some of the details. I'll discuss four things. First, the assumptions and procedures underlying our projections. Second, what has happened in the past few years to improve the budget outlook. Third, why our projections differ from those that the Congressional Budget Office issued a year ago. And fourth, the substantial uncertainty surrounding these and any long-term budget projections. First, how did we prepare our projections? These projections are intended to paint a picture of what would happen if current budget policies continue without change. For technical reasons, we use slightly different approaches for the first 10-year period and the years thereafter. For the first 10 years, we relied on CBO's baseline budget projections released just last month. we use exactly the same economic and technical estimating assumptions as CBO. And we make only a few changes in the policy assumptions where the legal baseline rules do not accurately represent current budget policy. For example, as Bob noted, we assume that various expiring tax provisions, known as the extenders, are extended, and that the scheduled cuts in physician payment rates under Medicare Sustainable Growth Rate, or SGR formula, do not occur. We assume that sequestration remains in place for this year, for 2013, but that it's canceled in 2014 and thereafter without being paid for. More on that point later. In addition, we assume that war spending phases down. After the first 10 years, that is from 2024 through 2040, we extrapolate the CBO 10-year projections using data from two sources, CBO's last long-term budget projections and the latest Social Security and Medicare trustees reports. And once again, we presume that current budget policy continues. For example, we assume that tax revenues grow modestly as a share of GDP as bracket creep moves more taxpayers and income into higher income tax brackets. And we assume that Medicare spending adheres to current law except for the sustainable growth rate. Second, what has happened in the past 2 years to improve the budget outlook? Three major pieces of legislation that each made a big difference. Health reform, that is, the Affordable Care Act of 2010, has reduced the deficit slightly in its first 10 years, according to CBO, but substantially in later decades. The 2011 Budget Control Act imposed tight caps on discretionary spending, even before taking sequestration into account. And the American Taxpayer Relief Act, or ATRA, enacted this past January, raised taxes on upper-income taxpayers. Along with these policy changes, interest rates have remained unusually low, and healthcare spending has slowed for reasons that go beyond the direct effects of health reform. Together, all these changes have substantially improved the budget outlook and have cut the projected level of debt in 2040 by half compared to the projection we prepared in early 2010. Third, why do our projections differ from those that CBO made just 1 year ago? Last June, CBO issued two different budget projections, the extended baseline and the alternative fiscal scenario, so-called, but neither one realistically represents today's budget policies. The extended baseline followed current tax law as it then stood, so it assumed that all of the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts would expire as scheduled. That was clearly unrealistic, as ATRA has shown, so most people rightly ignored that projection. They looked instead at the alternative fiscal scenario, which projected a very rapid rise in federal debt. But that projection was also unrealistic. CBO's alternative fiscal scenario assumed that revenues and spending will diverge from current budget policies in three major ways. It assumed that once revenues reach 18.5% of GDP, they will remain there over the long run, even though Congress would actually have to cut taxes repeatedly to produce that result. It also assumed that the cost control provisions of health reform would not remain in effect after 10 years, even though that would require a substantial change in Medicare law. And it assumed that spending for programs other than the major entitlements will revert to its average share of GDP and then stay there, even though Congress would have to reverse the budget cuts of recent years and greatly expand real spending per person. For all of these reasons, CBO's alternative fiscal scenario greatly overstates the path of federal debt. Our new projections fall in between these two CBO projections. And when CBO issues its new updated long-run projections this coming September, we expect that its new extended baseline will look much more like ours. Fourth and finally, what can we say about the uncertainty surrounding these and any budget projections that span almost three decades? That uncertainty is large and is of two types: uncertainty about budget policies and uncertainty about the course of the economy and other outside forces affecting the budget. To illustrate that uncertainty, we prepared two alternative projections. Our optimistic path differs from our base case in two ways. It assumes that instead of canceling sequestration and not offsetting its cost, policymakers replace sequestration with other deficit reduction measures that save the same amount over the next 10 years and even more thereafter. It also assumes that Medicare costs grow less rapidly than the trustees project. Under these optimistic assumptions, the debt would level off at about 80% of GDP in the late 2030s, as compared to 99% of GDP in our base case. Our pessimistic path also differs from the base case in two ways. It assumes that spending for programs other than the major entitlements grows at the same rate as GDP in the long run, rather than with inflation and population growth. It also assumes that healthcare spending grows at the more rapid rate in CBO's alternative fiscal scenario. Under these more pessimistic assumptions, the debt would rise to 120% of GDP by 2040. These two alternatives, let me emphasize, by no means represent the full range of uncertainty surrounding these or any long-run projections. Budget projections can change enormously in just 1 or 2 or 3 years. The uncertainty over 30 years is far greater. And now back to Bob.